I'm Ninja Sister.
And I'm Pandalicious.
And this
is the Eshcast.
This is Electric Sisterhood, podcast episode number 430. If you have to put Is It Wrong in the title, it is. Electric Sisterhood, home of the best.
The fucking best.
Girl gaming, tech gadget, and anime podcast. I am Ninja Sister.
And I am Pandalicious.
Welcome to a brand new episode of our weekly podcast, Panda.
Hey.
How you doing?
I'm doing really good.
Oh, yeah, I bet. Yeah. Uh-huh. We'll get into that in a little bit.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. We will. Yeah, you will. but I got like a bunch of stuff to talk about. I know you got a bunch of stuff to talk about, and we could talk about
keeping bosom load of things to talk
That's
about.
That's a lot of stuff.
That's a lot of bosom.
Like bosom full is like a lot.
Like, and with our bosoms, like...
Yeah, that's even more than, like, your normal, like, North American bosom amount.
Yes.
So there's that.
Dear sister, as we record this, it is National Siblings Day.
It is! And I'm doing something with my sibling on Siblings Day that is very sibling-like.
I mean, it's very convenient that we record this on this particular day.
But it is. It's fortuitous. It was like it was meant to be.
Meant to be.
La da 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 da. All right, enough of the singing. Let's talk about anime and gadgets and stuff. Obviously, I gotta lead off with the Apple Watch because as we are recording this, today was the day that the pre-orders started. And, you know, there were a lot of people that were talking shit about the Apple Watch. It's too expensive. Nobody in their right mind's gonna buy it. You know, especially the gold one because, I mean, the gold one's kind of pricey.
No shit.
You know, it's for ballers only, okay? But here's what happened. What had happened was pre-orders went up at 3 a.m. Eastern, so 12 Pacific, midnight, on the 10th. And, within 5 minutes of the Apple Store site coming up, the initial pre-order allotment was blown through on almost all watch models. And now currently, if you go to try and order a watch, you're looking at a 4 to 6 week wait for shipping.
Oh my God, really?
Within 5 minutes, it went from shipping the last week of April, first week of May, to June, July.
Ooh.
Okay, so for all those people who said, oh, there'll be plenty of watches and nobody's gonna want this thing, you were wrong. There was definitely some want. I had a friend of mine who posted on Facebook who I used to work with at Apple Retail back in the day, post about waking up at 2:50 in the morning to wait for the Apple Store to load. When it finally loaded on his computer at 3:10 a.m., he was already at the 4 to 6 week wait on the Steel Watch, which was the middle of the road one, because the aluminum is the entry level one, which he did go ahead and buy because it was a birthday present from his spouse. But I was like, wow. Like, that's 10 minutes from the site coming up. You gotta wait, like, a month, maybe month and a half. Like, that's a lot of thirsty people for that watch. Now, sure, there's a big chunk of people who are bleeding edge, who are fanboy and just, you know, love buying Apple stuff. I am one of those people.
Oh, you mean like you?
I would love to be bleeding edge on all Apple things. The gold MacBook is already on back order. You can't one of them on the order on the site. because those guys went. You know, so I just think it's funny that for all the naysayers that were out there, especially some analysts and things like that, you know, there are a lot of people who are not only true to the brand because of loyalty, because they love Apple and previous products, but I think that, like, people have been waiting for a good wearable that feels like a good timepiece and also has some of that functionality that you want, you know? Like I said, I love my iPhone 6 Plus, and for what I bought it for, which was to do social media and check and deal with my email and calendar stuff on the go, more so than carrying around my iPad, because I really stopped carrying my iPad around mobily. It's a hub in my house now. I stream media from it to my Apple TV. I use it in my Numark DJ turntable setup as so to run algorithms DJs on it. But I don't really carry it around to do my email check and things like that. I originally bought an iPad mini for that and to take notes in meetings, and ultimately I ended up giving that iPad mini to, who was that?
Me!
Oh, yes! My sibling. And so I needed a device that was a little bit smaller than a mini, but could handle, you know, all my social media stuff, and the iPhone 6 was perfect for that. But I also am one of those people that I try really hard to not have my phone out when I'm in a social setting, because I really want to be in the social setting if I'm out. It's rare that I go out, but when I do, I like to actually experience the evening with people. I'm not the most interesting man in the world, but I like to, when I'm out with people, try to be in that moment. So I try really hard to stay off my phone. But if my phone comes out, I'm there. I'm like Gruta. I am such a social media junkie. So when I get a notification on my phone, when I check it, if it's from anybody I know, I jump into what that thing is, and it pulls me out of my social situation, and I feel like a douche. Because I get stuck.
I mean, I just feel, I don't feel like a douche.
But I do, because I'm like, I have somebody sitting across from me, or like, I'm in a booth, and I'm in my phone, engrossed in some weird freaking photo that somebody sent me that I can't take my eyes off, or some meme, or something about a puppy, or a baby riding a puppy, I don't even know anymore. And I get so engrossed in that stuff, and I start swishing through all my social media, that I stop being part of what's going on around me. So what I really liked about the Apple Watch, which I mentioned on our podcast when we first talked about the keynote, was I like having a wearable that will let me see those notifications in basically a less overtly douchey way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to see my text messages that, ooh, I got a message and I got one from you, or I got one from someone else, and it will let me at a glance kind of look down without being that douchebag who has their phone on the table, like, ooh, let me just, ooh, let
buzz,
me
buzz,
just,
buzz,
you know,
buzz.
Exactly. And I can pick and choose. And so if I see that I have like a call from a family member and it might be important, I can excuse myself and go and take that call. And I just feel a little more socially minded doing it that way. And I like the health stuff that it has on the device as well. You know, I've had a Nike Fuel Band for the longest time until my dog ate it.
Oh, yeah.
And I really liked the challenge that the Fuel Band application gave me just to be more active, you know, to keep track of the steps that I was taking every day, because I really wasn't mindful of it, and to try and outstep myself or outpace myself. And it even got me motivated to go to the gym for a little bit and at least work the treadmill and a couple of machines, you know. So I like the idea that I'll also have that on a watch that, oh, by the way, is also a watch. So I'm very excited about the Apple Watch, and I can't wait to own one, because I'm going to own one. It will be on my wrist. I don't know when, because my taxes did not work out the way I really hoped that they did would.
Oh, boy.
It ended up so, okay.
So is it like a little probie in the butt, or is it like...
No. It was going to be like a probie in the butt, not a big one. But it was going to be like a probie. It wasn't going to be small. But then my tax guy called me and was like, hey, did you do this or this this year? And I was like, I did make those donations. He's like, hold on. I'll call you back. So he calls me back and he's like, all right, so here's where we netted out. So basically, I'm going to get $20 back from the Fed.
Oh, well.
And I owe the state $5. Because my tax guy is amazing.
Well, I can, at least you're getting back.
It was close. Because for like a hot minute, it was like, so how do you feel about rice and beans?
Well, some of us owe this, we owe the country, we owe the federal some money for going to school. And right. I would have gotten a couple of grand back, but...
If it hadn't been for those meddling IRS people.
If it hadn't been for that, those meddling Pell Grants, aww, perhaps I would have gotten a return this year. But, I mean, I kind of did my, I did some stuff where I didn't, you know, pay on time. So I own that. They can take my money. It's okay.
I mean, you did get the education. I mean, it's not like you can appeal it, but you did get that education.
I did.
So, you know, hey.
I'm learned, and one of these days I'll have a job that speaks to being learned.
And then you'd be like, yeah. Maybe then I
can
give
back in the way that they'd like me to so that they can stop offsetting me.
Yeah. I believe... Nice. I believe in that future for you, Panda.
It is attainable.
It's within your fingertips.
But anyway.
Yeah, so no getting up early and getting Apple Watch for Ninja because taxes were like, eat it.
You'll be happy.
I will, because I really do think that this is going to be a spectacular device for Apple. Just because it opens so many doors. And like I said, with the health kit stuff and making that open source, like, I think that there's a lot of good that a lot of people aren't even thinking about right now that's going to come into play because of this device. And a bunch of people already in the wearable market, like, dropped the prices on their wearables today to even try and compete.
Okay.
Which, well, I thought was funny. So, like, Fitbits dropped in price on a few models. Samsung dropped the price on a couple of theirs, as did Motorola. So, like, there are a bunch of wearables out there. So if Apple is not your road or you're not interested in the Apple Watch, guess what? Now's the time to buy a wearable because they dropped prices like crazy on wearables today to try and keep up and contend. So I recommend that if you were thinking about one, take a look now because the market's going to get really interesting. And this is only version one of the watch. This is Apple. You know they're going to have version 2 next year. So.
Right. Bigger, better, and uncut.
Exactly. So, that's my first little bit. Now, I will say that, because I forgot to do my disclaimer in the right time last time, that I own Apple stock. So I'm putting that disclaimer out there. My opinions are my own. Apple in no way influences my decision other than I love the products that they make. I pretty much have Apple everything in my life at this point. I have an iPad. I have an iPhone. I have a MacBook.
I have an iMac.
I mean, I kind of embody the iLife. And I love it. So I will have an Apple Watch. And when I do, I will probably talk about it nonstop for like multiple podcasts.
I will wait 3 days.
I'm not even going to lie. I'm going to be like, you can't see it, but I'm turning the chronograph thing right now. And it's like so slick. And I just touched it. I touched it. And I sent my heartbeat to nobody because I don't know anyone who has an Apple Watch to send my heartbeat to. But I would send my heartbeat.
But when you do find someone, you could send it and be like, now if it drops, will you let me know?
Exactly, right?
Know, but can you just send me a text right quick just in case I'm not aware that it did that?
Like, just real quick, if it's beating irregularly, which I do actually have an irregular heartbeat, found that out when I had to have surgery on my wrists as a kid. They're like, yeah, your heart's arrhythmic. Did you know that? I was like, no. Is that going to be a problem? They're like, eh, it could be.
We'll just play it by ear.
We should watch that. You know, because of strokes and stuff. But it'll be fine. You'll be fine. So, yeah. Apple stuff, Very interesting. You can still sign up for appointments to wear the watch to go into a store. So you can actually make an appointment for
Wait. So you could go to the store where you want to buy the watch.
You can make...
buy the watch. But you can get used to the watch by making an appointment to wear the watch.
Right, because here's the thing. Like, there are two sizes of the watch, right? The 32mm, the 38mm, and the 42mm. So, before you're going to invest anywhere between $350 to, you know, $10,000 on a watch, you probably want to make sure that it looks good and it fits right, right? And if you've never had a wearable like this before, you probably want to do a test drive. But these are not cheap devices. So, Apple has, like, some crazy security going on in places. Not all stores even have the Apple Watch Edition, the Gold Edition. Some do. Basically, it looks like flagship stores are getting it. And so you can make an appointment to go into the store and wear a watch for up to a half hour and try on different ones. So, like, if you want to wear and see what the gold watch is like, you can make an appointment, go into the store, and an associate will bring out a gold watch, and you can fuck around with it for 30 minutes. Take photos of yourself wearing it, doing things with it and shit. So you could, like, have the baller life real quick on the cheap, the balling on the budget, be like, yo, look what I just copped, this is what I got. Yeah, for 30 minutes. But you can make an appointment, so that way you can decide, like, is this the right fit or not? So that way, when you are ordering it, or, you know, at some point, the stores are going to ramp, and you're going to be able to walk into a store and walk out with a watch. It's just, it's the first days that you could get it, so just like every Apple release, it's going to be real tight for a little bit, and then production's going to ramp, and you're going to have plenty of them for holiday and stuff like that. But if you want to try one on to see, you know, does the 42 feel good on my wrist versus the 38, you know, or is there a really big difference between weights between the aluminum version and the silver version before you buy one, this is how you can try it. You know, it's just like going into and buying a phone. Like, back in the early days, like, you could just come in and they were all bolted down on the stores, but you could pick one up and they were fully functional. So you could make a call on one, you could do FaceTime, you could get on the internet. So, you know, I think that it's smart of Apple realizing, hey, there's going to be a lot of people that are going to want this watch, and for us to be organized about it, why don't we just have people make appointments as opposed to trying to staff people around the watch table all the time to make sure people aren't boosting those things.
Right. That's smart. You're absolutely right. So
it's a smart way to go about it, and it gives you a half hour to try out the doggone thing. And maybe you try it out and you realize, you know what? It's not really for me. Now you've just saved $300.
I like to save money because I ain't made of it.
If I had money, the things that I would do. First, I'd have a maid. Maybe two. You know?
Right. Right.
Because that's what you do when you have money.
Spend it.
You spend it. Oh, Apple. But when I do get money, I'll tell you right now, I am picking up an Apple Watch. I'm going to get a silver edition one, and I am going to get a MacBook Gold.
I'm glad to know that you got it like that.
I don't have it like that, but I want to have it like that.
Well, you know what? I want to have an Apple that has wings, and it just floats over my lap, so I never feel the heat on my lap. And I want it to always make me Belgian waffles on Sunday.
Well, if you got a case that had magnets, and then put reverse magnets on your lap,
it would hover.
Theoretically, it would hover.
So you
could do that.
I want an Apple that will turn into a man.
I can't help you there. I don't think Apple's gonna develop that.
I don't think so either.
I don't think so either. No, I'm putting it out in the universe because Oprah said in the universe. I've been drinking. I'm putting it out in the universe because Oprah said if you want things, you have to put it out there so that they could come to you.
I would love you to buy me this.
Oprah, please buy me this.
And not even realize you've lost that money because by the time you've spent it, you've made it back.
This is like pennies on the dollar for you, Oprah. And I feel like we're kindred spirits, so buy me this. Please and thank you. Your biggest fan.
You're my spirit animal. Can't you feel my pain?
I don't know. I kind of feel like sometimes Hannah Hart is my spirit animal.
Well,
And then
I'm Tina Fey is my spirit animal. So.
And then the other times I'm like, no, actually it's Aisha Tyler.
Oh, I want to be Aisha Tyler.
Who doesn't want to be Aisha Tyler? Let's just talk about every time I see like Aisha Tyler doing anything, in the back of my head I hear, I'm a boss ass bitch, and I'm like, yep, she
know it too.
Yep. Yeah.
No, she's not ignorant about it, though.
No, and it's one of the things I just
doing
me,
and if you happen to like it, great. Oh, wait, so many people will enjoy what I do? Well, then I must be doing something right.
And awesome. You know, so Aisha Tyler, that's a shit. So, yeah, that's my first thing that's Apple-related. And the second one is kind of Apple-related, but...
When isn't it Apple-related for you? Oh, wait, when it's Destiny-related.
When it's Destiny-related. Let me, like, you know me. It's either Apple or Destiny at this point. It's pretty much what life is. Ooh, and Key and Peele, because new episodes of Key and Peele. So, Key and Peele. But...
You all like... Anyway, I know that's coming up.
I know. Game of Thrones weekend, like crazy. Can't wait. All right, so my other thing really quickly, and then I'll let you go, and then I have one more thing. But I've been playing a game that is not Destiny.
I know.
Okay, that is not Bloodborne, because fuck Bloodborne.
Whoa.
I can't play it.
I could have told you were going to suck balls at it.
Suck at it. I can't do it.
I finally beat the first level boss.
Yay! I'm so proud of you.
Now I have to go back and fight the other boss who I went to and got, like, I got him down to, like, a quarter health. But then I died. But then I was told by the Biffle that he had another form anyway. So I was like, oh, I was boned anyway. He's like, but for your first try, that was pretty good. I'm like, yeah, thanks. Mind you, he's, like, so close to fucking endgame, it's unbelievable. And he's just... You know, this game, while I'm on this tangent for Bloodborne,
yeah.
Because I have had so many experiences in Demon's Souls and Dark Souls 1, and remember, I bought Dark Souls 2, but yep. I was like, fuck it!
Yep. I remember.
I played Demon's Souls so passively. Like, you were playing carefully because, one, you didn't know what would actually affect you in the surroundings. So, like, in Bloodborne, that's exactly what I did. You know, I took small steps. I looked around every corner. Like, my first playthrough, I played 2 hours and only died twice, where everyone else was just running through and just dying a billion.
I died a billion and a quarter times.
But sadly, this game, because, you know, after I had the hard time even getting to the boss, and I was like, what, why is this different for me? And I had to go back and think about it, and then even then I couldn't get it. And then the Biffle was like, well, you were a spellcaster then, so you could stay away. But this kind of requires you to get up in everybody's balls.
And yeah, like, you got to get into business. There, like, you can't stealth away from stuff.
You couldn't stealth anything before, but you know, as a spellcaster, you could cast your ice spell from, like, so many meters away and never have to enter into physical combat. Granted, you were given a weapon later on, or at least my character did, and, like, she could poke things from far away, but now I have to rely on getting close and effectively hitting and remembering the sequence of buttons that will deliver a certain attack that will help or hurt me, and that's not the type of player I've ever been.
Right.
So that's where I am struggling. And, like, he's just up in people's faces. He's just punching pig rectums. He is just fucking people's faces. Just, like, accept my face. And, like, it's, like, aggressive. And I'm like, whoa. Like, it's kind of attractive.
Yeah, I eventually got to a point where I was just like, you know what? Fuck this. I'm just going to be Leroy Jenkins. And I actually got a little bit further.
Ordered for being... Brash.
I got a little bit further applying the Leroy Jenkins style of gameplay, but not much. And I was like, you know what? I could just play Destiny. And so that happened.
So, I mean, I'm still doing what I can in
Bloodborne. I'm not finishing Bloodborne.
Every time he loads it up, I am more curious about where he is because he's so much further than I am. And at least I get to experience it while I view it until I fall asleep, which also does happen because the areas are so calming when you're not being raped in the face.
Yeah, true.
That, you know, yeah. If nothing's going on, I will fall asleep.
Yeah, like, so, I've enjoyed...
Dies, and then I'll wake up like, oh, you died.
I've enjoyed watching some other people's gameplay moments of Bloodborne. Like, please don't take it the wrong way. I am not dissing the game. They have created an amazing game. I can't beat it.
So,
and that's okay, because I am a strong enough gamer to be like, you know what? There's some games that I can't compete.
The things I cannot do and I cannot change. But, you know? We were not supposed to be talking about Bloodborne or Destiny. We're supposed to be talking about the game that you are playing currently.
Yes, which is not a console game. Bum, bum, bum.
Oh my god. Wait, are you playing Timelines yet?
I haven't gotten into the beta yet.
Oh, okay.
It hasn't rolled. Oh, okay. Trust me, I've been watching my email waiting for that mofo.
I know.
Like, crazy.
So what have you been playing then?
So this is another game that I heard about at PAX East, but I didn't actually get to experience at PAX East, from a company named Mokuni.
Okay.
And the game is a mobile game, so you can play it on your Android, on the Amazon Game Store, and get it in iOS. And it's called Kitty in the Box.
Kitty in the Box, and I want to touch it.
Yeah, kinda. So. Wait.
Is that your whole purpose? You're supposed to touch a kitty in the box?
You gotta get the kitty in the box. So, let me explain. Basically, you have a kitty.
Meow.
Yes. And your kitty is on a single path. So, it's kind of like Minecraft style, but one row block of land. That sometimes is 6 blocks long, sometimes 4, sometimes even longer. And there's sometimes a box that's open on both sides on that path.
Mm-hmm.
And there's food or an item on the other side of the box that's open. And you have to hold your finger down to move the kitty. And as the kitty moves, it builds up momentum. So you have to figure out when to let go so that the momentum will carry and land the kitty in the box, but not go off your path. Because otherwise your kitty dies and goes, oh! And so every time you complete a path, but every time that you successfully get the kitty in the box or get the kitty in the basket, because there's sometimes baskets that you then have to flick up, and the momentum of which you flick determines how high and the arch of the kitty jumping in the air.
The arch of the kitty.
So if you overshoot the basket, the kitty also goes and dies. So, the object of the game is to get the kitty in the box, and the path keeps changing. So, once you successfully get the kitty in the box, a new path shows up in a completely different angle, and again, it changes its length, and then there's...
It changes its shit.
It does. It changes its shit up, because sometimes the box has wings, so it flutters. So, not only do you have to get the timing down of when the box will be on the ground... to make sure that your kitty is sliding at the right momentum to get in the box, but they also can't slide out of the box... because they'll fall and die. And then there are baskets that flutter. So then you have to get the timing right to make sure that you're jumping in the air at the right point, that the basket will be down, so you can get the kitty in the basket.
Kitty in the basket. That sounds super cute.
It is really cute, but it is also very challenging, because as you successfully get the kitty in the box, or the kitty in the basket, you accrue points. And once you've died 3 times, basically, that's the end of your kitty. And it tallies up.
Kitties have 9 lives.
Kitties have 3 lives.
No. Well, technically, kitties only got 1.
Cats have 9 lives. Kitties have 3.
Do you get to be a cat and then you get 9 tries?
I don't know. There are some cats that when you can go, like, and there are different streaks that you can unlock new cats, or you can do in-app purchases, but there are some cats that have different buffs. So there are some cats that, like, can go 3 retries before actually having to use up one of your retries. So in essence, getting 6 or 9 lives. There are some that, you know, will never have any problem getting in the basket. And so they're all different types of kitties. And then if you do get the food element or the surprise, what do they call them? Magical items, which basically are pieces of gear you can put on your kitty. So there's, like, 9 different kitties, including one that kind of looks like Hello Kitty-ish.
Okay, well, that's...
And there's one that looks... Yeah, I did buy that kitty. And then there's one that looks like Grumpy Cat.
Oh.
And then there's a white cat called Pudding and a chocolate cat. I forget what the chocolate cat is called. But there are a bunch of different cats. And I'm sure that there are more to come. But it is actually very challenging. Like, I found myself getting really excited to, like, outdo my previous score and outdo my previous score. And then, like, Flappy Birds, where it was just a game that was actually really, really ridiculous to get the timing right to succeed. You don't feel silly when you overshoot the momentum. Like, you have an idea of what went wrong pretty much mid-kitty push.
Okay.
And so you learn from it, but it is really engrossing. And when you can get, you know, a higher level score, like, my highest so far is like 950 points that I've racked up before I finally ran out of all my tries with my poor kitty, which is pretty damn good. But it lets you, when you do finally die, like, see all the twists and turns of paths that came up. So you basically could see your world progress. And it's just really cool. It's ridiculously addictive. And it's actually really good for, like, testing your spatial relations and stuff. So it's good for you on so many levels. Plus, it's a cute kitty. So there's really no badness.
And who doesn't like cats?
Like, there's nothing bad about this game. And I love it. Perfect. So it is perfect. You beat me to it.
Yes, I did.
Damn it.
Did it.
But I really like it, and it is a free app available on pretty much everything mobile. It does have in-app purchases. If you want to early unlock a particular kitty, you can pay money for it. You basically buy fish, because kitties consume fish.
Kitties eat fish.
You buy fish in order to unlock the new kitties or unlock other special items.
That's how you lure new kitties, is by different types of fish.
Probably. But it's hella fun, and I really, really enjoy it. And Mokini is a new independent developer. They have one other game that's out now that's called, I think, Mushroom Hunter or Mushroom Hunters or something like that. It doesn't really look like up my scheme, but they also have another one that they're working on with a little robot in it, and I have a feeling that I'm going to like that one. So, cheers to those guys, and I always like to give big ups to peeps on the East Coast. They're based out of New York, so you know, big ups for doing it really well. It's a really addictive game, and I wish that I had actually discovered it at PAX East, because I probably would have talked about it nonstop during our realm. Table.
Okay.
So there's that. So I'm going to shut up right now because I know you have a bunch to talk about, and I actually want to hear about all of it.
I have two things to talk about.
And I have one more
you'll
thing.
Be able to jump in onto.
Yes.
And discuss with me. So I'll leave that one towards
if the I'm end. Not drinking.
If you're not drunk by that point, which may not happen.
Mm.
So I have been spending a lot of time watching shows.
Yeah.
Like I said, Bloodborne has been a grueling process for me, but an enjoyable one. But when I'm not in the mood to see myself die multiple times, I will just jump into a series and marathon it if it's that good, or just have it on while I'm doing something in the house like laundry or dishes or whatever.
Right.
And we're now starting to get the spring roll in for Crunchyroll.
So you mean summer?
Is it summer's time?
It's the summer season. Yeah.
Okay. I thought it was spring because...
Summer season!
So the summer season's beginning to roll in, and we are starting to see some new simulcasts. We are starting to see additional seasons come in. And for...
A whole lot of anime.
Yeah. Like, I mean, I saw one literally, like, the first day, because I think most of them started coming out. For premiere people, it came out on April 8th. You could start seeing them.
Yeah.
And everybody else who's not a premiere member will start getting them, like, a week later, which is, you know, like, next week. So you guys might not know what I'm talking about, but here, if you're listening to us now, you will. So if you were a big Utapri-sama fan like I was, they have started rolling out the third season, which is the Utapri Revolution, which, just for a synopsis, it is a reversed harem.
Dudes! Pretty boys!
Pretty boys everywhere. And your protagonist is this young girl, Haruka, who has this great ability to arrange songs and makes people happy. And she gets accepted to this prestigious school where either you're a composer or you're an idol. And you have to, like, just establish your pair before the end of the first year. And, like, six dudes are all like, I want her. And she's like, well, I want all of them because she's a greedy bitch. And they end up forming an idol group. Which, through her music, they all start, you know, awakening their true feelings for her, even though she's completely oblivious to six dudes all kind of saying, I love you, but they kind of can't because while at school, there is no romantic relations between composers and idols because you get kicked out. So they all kind of agree to love her without loving her, sort of.
Uh-huh.
After that.
Yeah.
And at the end of the first season, she releases the first song and they kind of debut as idols. But in the second season, they are, you know, they're finding a conflict because something just isn't right. And they end up getting invited to the master course, which is where you debut as an idol and you're actually, like, out there in the world, like, producing music. You're not just, you're learning, but you're learning while you do, kind of.
Uh-huh.
And they realize that there's something missing from their group, and they find out that there's another person in the master course who really has no desire to be an idol at all, but has been led to Japan because the muses of music have led him to this chick who he has never met except for in her dreams, which doesn't sound like it'd be something realistic, but okay, whatever.
Sure.
Give me another hot boy who sounds like a chick. That's fine.
By the way, is it me, or whenever they have a reverse harem, do they always make the dude's eyes match their hair color? But they don't always do that with chick harems.
Well, it's weird, because a couple of years ago, I want to say, like, around 2011, they started doing a lot of matchy stuff. Like, with your eyes and your hair. Before, they would do complementary colors, but now they're actually really kind of making them dead on. And then around, I want to say, the end of 2012 into 13, I started seeing animes that would have people's hair fade from one color to another. So
yeah, that seemed to be like a big thing with like the
0048 started doing it.
Yeah.
And even a little bit in Parasite Maxim, you can see in the girl.
Yeah, like, it's in Parasite. Kind of, and there was another one that was like, it was a weird title.
Yeah.
It was like a dark rabbit has 9 lives or something like that.
Yeah.
It was a weird one.
But, so they started doing that. So they're always trying to find new ways to invent their animation style, which you got to give them props for that, because that's not something I think anyone ever really kind of thought would work. But because they're playing with pastels, I think they have an easier time of doing that.
Right.
Like, we haven't seen anybody with like harsher colored tones doing it. Like, they're all very light and airy colors, which is fun and it works. But in this series, they don't do that. They're matching their eye color to their hair, and which is perfectly fine. All of their voices are supposed to be very signature and different. And I don't find that distinction that much between the core seven, only during certain songs, maybe. But anyway, that was the second season. They figure out that this missing guy who really didn't have any desire to be an idol is actually what they've been missing. And his voice really doesn't add anything to their song, but it doesn't matter. Because then they get entered into a competition to compete against another amateur group, which is all about, you know, lovelorn and sadness and not about being happy. And all the bitches are all like, oh my God, my panties. And they're like, it's so, like, they're just so enamored with this group. And they're really intense, and, like, everyone's like, whoa. But, like, anyway, the good guys win because, you know, we always want that to happen. And, like, they become stars, and that's kind of the end of it until season 3, which now, apparently, the superstar sports, a.k.a. the Olympics, are coming to Japan. And while that's well and good, what usually happens is, like, the top it star, you know, idol-wise, will perform at the superstar sports, a.k.a. the Olympics, and they will write a song for the superstar sports, a.k.a. Olympics. And, like, it's, like, the biggest effing deal that Japan got chosen. And the school that has this band in it also has another band who's more like a mentoring station. Like, they don't actually perform, but they're, like, mentors to people who make it into the master course.
Right.
And the producer, president guy, is like, well, I actually want the mentors to audition to have their song be the song for superstar sports. Even though Utapri has been, like, you know, like the it thing, apparently, for a while. And they're all kind of concerned as to why the president didn't want to choose them. So in the whole first episode, because that's the only thing that's running right now, by the time the show comes out, there'll be episode 2, which I'm waiting on bated breath for. Literally, we're just getting reintroduced to all the base characters, and now we're getting more about the mentoring group. And now they're all going to fall in love with her, and technically, you know, she doesn't really compose for them, so any of them could actually win their heart, so that's where that tension's going to be. And, like, maybe somebody else might like somebody else, but I highly doubt that because it would destroy the formula. And, I mean, I'm just looking forward to looking at cute 2D boys thrusting in similar outfits talking about revolution, because that's all we're going to get in this third season. But I'm all for it. So that's...
Okay.
So that's available on Crunchyroll. I think the first 2 seasons are also available on, I think, Funimation? I'm not sure. So that's something to be looking out for. Another one, I've seen that a lot of romances, rom-coms are happening right now. And I was just looking for one that was not a K-drama or a J-drama because I wanted to watch something more animated. And I came across My Love Story, which, because I'm a premier member, or rather Ninja is, and I was able to watch the first episode. And it looks like your very typical love story. Like, you've got your established triangle, except you have pretty aloof girl, you have really hot, aloof, cold guy, and then you have big, giant, Onizuka-looking kind of guy. And the main character is actually the big guy. And, you know, and if you've watched, like, Cromartie High, or then you get the idea of what kind of guy they're kind of going for. Like, a really tall, kind of looks threatening and menacing. Like, people don't know how to approach him because of how he looks. And not necessarily about how he acts. So in the first episode, you get this little analogy about the red ogre and the blue ogre, which is a very pinnacle story, I guess, in their folklore, about this red ogre that was really friendly and just wanted to befriend these humans in this village, but they were so scared of him that they wouldn't go near him. And the red ogre's only friend is this blue ogre who's like, look, how about I just go down there and I act like a dick and then you defeat me and then everyone will love you. And he, you know, and the red ogre's like, I would love that because I just want to be friends with everybody. And they do it. And then all the humans love him, but they, you know, they push away the blue ogre. And then he, you know, at the end of it, the red ogre realizes that, you know, he had the friend that he, you know, should have kept. Like, his true friend is the one who went out of his way to make him happy and not, you know, become, not be the product of something else. So I think that's going to tie into the story because the main character, his name is Goda, and like I said, he's this big, menacing-looking, kind-hearted guy. And he has this really, really good friend who is super, super hot. And like all the girls that Goda has ever loved have all confessed to his friend. And he's shot them all down. Like, he is just not interested in girls. Like, it's just, I think he might be gay, but that, you know, that's neither here or there, and it's only the first episode, so I'm only guessing. But, so anytime Goda has any emotions about a girl, he's like, nope, I might as well not, because as soon as I admit to myself that I like her, she's gonna fall in love for Suna, which is his friend, and he's like, and I'm never gonna have love the way that I want, so I might as well just accept that. Well, one day they're on a subway train, and it's super, super packed. And Suna kind of notices that something's going on in this one corner of the cart that they're in, but he can't see everything. And Goda, being as tall as he is, can see that this girl is being groped by this harasser. And because he's so honorable and noble, like, he just runs over there and literally, like, grabs a dude's hand. He's like, how dare you put your hands on this woman? And, like, the girl turns around, and she's got this sweet face, and then all of a sudden his face just melts, like, off because of how cute she is. And he's just like, I'm in love. And he's all like, no, now that I've admitted that, now she's going to fall in love with. And as soon as, like, he says that, she locks eyes with Suna. So he's like, I guess I'll just be her cheerleader because I just want her to be happy.
Aww.
So, like, that's what he is. And, like, throughout the whole episode, like, she thanks both of them because that guy was harassing her and was, like, groping her butt on the subway. And, like, they get him reported. And she shows up to his house, Goda's house, with, like, a cheesecake for all of them to share because she's expressing her thanks. And you can kind of tell that, like, she's always looking at Goda and Goda's always looking at Suna, assuming that she is looking at Suna and she's not. So he's got it in his mind that she's not about that life. And now, like, this is where the comedy is going to come in, because he's going to be trying to push her onto Suna. Suna's going to be rejecting that until finally we get to the head where she finally admits that she likes Gota. Or at least that's what I theorize is going to happen. It seems really, really light. I mean, the dark tones aren't even all that dark. It is very, you know, it's not Your Lie in April, which was a devastating
May
for me to watch. I cried that last episode like a fucking bitch. And I really admit it. And I knew it was coming. And, like, it tugged on some strings in my real life that I was like, nope. But this won't, and this is a great spin on the love triangle, because usually you have, like, the dorky, quiet girl who's secretly really hot trying to get to the really cool, mean, not really mean, but comes off mean guy. And, like, usually this type of character who is the protagonist in this is usually, like, a comic relief and never really gets a lot of screen time. So now that they're flipping the script, like, it's really refreshing to me as someone who likes to enjoy shows. So, that was called My Love Story. That's also available on Crunchyroll. You can start seeing that by next week. And then there's my favorite one that I'm glad I waited till the end to talk about, because it brings me to a place, a very serious place in my loins.
Uh-oh.
And yeah.
Wait, serious in your loins?
Like, okay, so let me... Yes, and I'm going to explain this.
Okay, good. Because
so the anime is called Food Wars. And literally
Okay. All right. I was about
Food Wars. And here is your premise. So you have this boy who works in his family restaurant. Like, his dad is like this best cook, and like he's been prepping with his dad pretty much since he was little. We don't see a mom, so I'm assuming mom has passed away. And like I said, this is only episode one. I think by the time this comes out, two or three of them will be running, but we don't see mom, so something happened. But anyway, his dad's this best chef, and he's been learning from his dad pretty much since day one. And every day they have a food competition at this restaurant. And by the time that you see this, he's like 15, 16 years old. And he has lost to his father every round. And it's not because the character can't cook. It's just that his dad apparently just invokes such passion out of his food that it just strikes people in a way that would make you think that they were climaxing everywhere.
You think? This show is food porn.
Like, it is literally food porn.
And it's softcore food porn.
That is still circulating in Weekly Shonen Jump. But anyway, so your main character is... Oh, God, I can't even right now, because it brings me to a place. Anyway, the main character... his name is Yukarina, I think, or something like that, and I'm butchering it. But like I said, he is just so obsessed with surpassing his father, and he wants to take over the family restaurant. And he looks like he's lined up to do that. Like, he's like, I'm about to graduate middle school. He's like, and then I'm going to go, and I'm just going to study cooking with my dad, and then I'm going to take it over, and that's his plan. Well, the city planner shows up, and she's got her eyes on pretty much buying out the whole neighborhood and putting up this, like, complex. And he's all like, get out of here. You know, we're not shutting down because we have great business, because we have great food. We always make what our customers want to eat and not just whatever we feel like eating. And, like, we'll never go out of business. And she sends her goons to pretty much mess up their supplies and stuff so that she can then go, oh, well, you said you could serve anyone, but it looks like you can't. And in the episode, his father at this point went on a business trip and will be back soon. And I don't know if this ties into anything or not. I actually don't think it will. But the trashing of the restaurant happens, and she's like, I demand meat. Like, I'm your customer, and you told me you can feed me at any time, whatever it is that I want. And, like, he had just gone to the store to go get breakfast stuff, like potatoes and bacon and whatever for, like, breakfast the next day. And he comes into the trash shop, and she demands this, and he's like, if I do this and I give you exactly what you want, you have to leave right now and never come after this restaurant. And, like, she's sitting there kind of, like, posed over things. She's got really big boobies that kind of undulate all the time.
Kind of.
Okay, they undulate
all the time. All the damn time.
Just heaving bosoms, like, at all times of the day. And, like, her butt's kind of wiggling. Like, it's really kind of overly suggestive. And all of a sudden he, because he wears this white band that he wraps around his head, but he wears it on his wrist. And it's very dramatic. Like, I feel like it would, it's like his pretty boy transformation, because he, like, whips it off of his arm and then he wraps it around his head. And then he magically has an apron and he just starts putting this stuff together. And, like, you see these potatoes being steamed and you see these things being diced up and you're hearing the sizzling. And I mean, and I like to cook. Like, I love to find recipes and learn how to cook things. And as I'm watching him cook this stuff, I'm, like, getting hungry. But then all of a sudden, I'm, like, watching that happen. And I'm also hearing this female character kind of moaning at the smells that I'm assuming she smells. And the actions of him, like, dicing things up and prepping things. And this, and she's all moaning and she's getting all blushy in the face. And, like, I'm, like, okay. And then, like, I started feeling kind of weird in that sexy way. And I'm like, what is the show do? What?
Wait, what? This show touched you in your loins?
Yeah.
And not so, your tenderloin?
Oh, in all my loins. But anyway. Ooh. So he creates this thing called the gotcha pork roast. Because she demanded meat, but she had ruined all of his meat stores. So what he did is he made a roast pretty much with potatoes, onions, and mushrooms. And then he wrapped it in bacon and then finished it off with a red wine reduction sauce. And, like, it smelled like pork because, you know, obviously bacon is pig. And,
yeah.
Like, it's all super crunchy and it was supposed to be soft in the middle and it's supposed to have all these aromas. And,
oh, I remember the episode.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It made that lady cream in her pants.
It made her and her bodyguards.
Oh, yeah, and her bodyguards.
From their buttholes and their private parts.
Yep.
And literally after the episode, his father's like, well, I'm going to be selling the restaurant and I'm going to go do other stuff, so you need to figure out what you're going to do. And he pretty much sends Soma, that's his name, sends him to culinary school, but it's the most elite culinary school in Japan that has a success, has a dropout rate of like 90%, so only 10% of who comes graduates. And his father's like, if you can graduate this school, he's like, then you will be prime set to take over my restaurant and to surpass me. And that's where kind of the episode ends. But as soon as I saw the meat, the fake roast, and that whole spiel happened, I was like, I need to make this. I'm like, can this be made? And I'm sitting there thinking about what I would think would go in it. And, like, I watched the episode several times to see what he says he puts in it. Granted, they don't give you actual times of, like, how much cup of this or how much time it's supposed to be this. So, I mean, all that stuff is intuitive anyway. And I went searching to see if anybody else had the same impulse to cook this meal and hopefully have the same reaction, this Harry Met Sally reaction to this food. And apparently some dudes in Australia who do a show attempted to cook it, and they kind of failed at it because of the simple fact that in the show, the potatoes were steamed, and the Australian chef who wanted to put this together decided to boil his potatoes. So granted, the potatoes became soft, but they would not hold form.
Okay.
Which for this dish, like, it's pretty much a potato patty. Like, you have to form it into, like, it looks like a giant hash brown, if that gives you a better visual.
Uh-huh. You make it
wraps around that. So
I'm liking everything you're saying.
Well, I mean, but his kind of fell short, and he didn't let the bacon sit long enough for it to crisp over.
So I
decided that I was going to create one of my own. And actually, with this podcast, I'm going to show you a picture of it, because I did, in fact, create the fake
pork. I know. I've been looking at it for the last couple of hours and cursing your name, but only in a positive way.
Well... I haven't had any yet, but I will put a picture.
Trust me, it's delicious, Panda.
It was done. It can be done.
I saw what happened to the bacon. I saw what happened to the bacon.
You did. So, I mean, if you're interested in cooking shows, if you're interested in porn, if you're interested in both, this is the series for you.
Cooking porn.
It had me at, ugh.
So much better than Cooking Mama.
Oh, my God, yes. If this cooking was a porn game. If this was like a dating sim fucking cooking game, I would be all about it, but it's only a manga. I know that just recently started circulating in Shonen Jump not too long ago, and I think there's currently, I think they have slated for 11 volumes, so if you wanted to read it instead of watch it, you can. I mean, you might get a little bit more out of the visuals from the read than the anime, because I'm sure there's a whole lot of stuff that they can't, show. So,
You think?
Yeah, I'm sure of it. But it's absolutely hilarious. And I mean, we're going to meet a whole lot of other characters who are also chefs who have their shining moments and will all influence what Soma does and vice versa. I think we're going to get a love interest in the Erina character. I'm not too sure about that yet, but I mean, I'm usually not wrong.
No, you're usually on point.
Usually. So, I mean, my mouth is watering now just
because you're thinking about the bacon. You're thinking about the bacon.
My fake roast that is waiting for me. But anyway, that is available on Crunchyroll. Check that one out, please. Give that one 4 episodes, and if you're not coming from excitement from episode one,
really.
I'm sorry, bro. It tingled me in a very sexual way, and most animes don't do that for me, so I had to bring it up because it obviously affected me in a way that I feel our audience wants to know about.
Really, though?
Like, I was like, now I want bacon.
But really, though?
Yeah. So that's the deal. And obviously, as the story unfolds, there might be more, and if there is, I will surely be talking about it.
Yeah, I know you will.
Uh-huh.
I know you will. All right, so I guess that leaves me with my last thing then.
Yep.
For the show, which is also anime related because the new season of Simulcast started. I've been pretty much checking out everything, at least episode one, of everything that's a full show because I don't like the super short shows, the 2-minute, 4-minute guys. I don't know why. I love Vine. I don't like 4-minute animes.
I'm so surprised because Vine is only 6 minutes.
It's 6 seconds. Vine is 6 seconds. But I like 6-second Vines. I don't like 4-minute animes. Whatever. I'm a weirdo. I'll own that. But I've been watching at least episode one of everything else, pretty much in line from how they started, picking up with series that I'm currently watching, which are Log Horizon, Durarara, X2, Aldenoa Zero, you know, all that good stuff. One of the new ones that I watched is one that's called Is It Wrong to Pick Up Girls in a Dungeon?
Is it?
It's a good question. Because is it wrong to pick up girls in a dungeon? I don't know. You know, no one's asked me that question before. So let's talk about it. The show is very similar in feel to things like Sword Art Online and Log Horizon in that you have adventurers who are going off into dungeons, so the video game feel, to defeat baddies in order to earn money, crystals and things like that, and beef up their specs. And the main character is one of these adventurers who is very low level. And you learn early on that the gods, the deities overseeing this land, really wanted to, like, be amongst people and adventurers. And they were revered by many people, but in order for them to kind of walk amongst the people, they ended up having to give up some of their power. So there were some gods that, you know, fell out of existence because they basically became human, you know, and eventually died. But there are still some deities left that make contracts with adventurers. And so they're able to do magic still to a degree. And so the main character is paired up with a deity who's very much a sweet tsundere character, is the best way I can describe her. She's obviously in love with the boy. He has no idea.
Of course, because they never do.
Yep. He's devoted to her because he's enraptured by her and really is devoted to her in a I'm giving my devotion to my deity, totally not in the I love you way. Right. And she wants it to be in the I love you way.
Ain't that the way? So this deity loves this guy who's devoted to her in a very secular way.
In the devotional way to a deity, yep.
Not in the way that he wants to put his sausage in her biscuit.
Correct.
But she wants it in her biscuit.
Right.
But she's not going to say, hey, I want it in my biscuit.
Right.
They're just going to play coy, like, oh, you could put it in, oh, whenever you're ready. Like, if you really wanted to, it's here.
They're not even playing coy. Like, she gets jealous when he's out for long periods of time and, like, worries about him and things like that. And is always concerned that, like, he's found somebody in a dungeon and that, you know, she'll play second fiddle. And,
he's a god.
He had a grandfather who obviously passed away because he's not living with his grandfather anymore. He's living in the ruins of this church with this girl. But his grandfather gave him advice, and he told him to search out dungeons, and he had to become a strong hero so he could save damsels in distress that were in the dungeon, and that's how he could get the ladies.
Oh. Well, then.
You know, like your grandpa does.
Because, I mean, that's what our grandpa did, right?
You know, pick up ladies in the dungeon. Be a strong hero, defend the damsel, get the girl. He's really low level and is desperately trying to build up his stats, but he's a very sweet character, so very easy to get behind as the hero. Trying really hard, obviously an underdog. As he's going through this dungeon, he basically jumps the gun and goes to a level that he really wasn't prepared for yet, like stats-wise, and is facing a bunch of things, and it looks like he's gonna die. And he actually gets rescued by this legendary hero, who is a chick, and he immediately has fallen head over heels in love with her.
Oh, no.
And decides that he is going to beef up its stats so that he can end up running in these dungeons that she runs in so that he can hopefully somehow woo her.
Okay. So there's our triangle.
Okay. So he's of one...
Right now we just have a straight line because we have Dee Dee likes him. He likes the legendary hero. What about legendary hero? We have to figure out.
We don't know about legendary hero yet. Now, it's only one episode in, so there's so much to learn. There's so much to go. But it's based off of a light novel. And I think that it's super sweet, but the action is actually pretty good. Like, he basically goes in and grinds in a dungeon to try and beef up his levels. It gets completely beat up. He's bloody everywhere. He doesn't come home on time, and so the deity starts really worrying, and he's slowly walking up as she's going out to try and find him. And he's like, I'm so sorry, but I'm home. And he, like, collapses, and she's like, ah! And so she takes him back to heal him, and you learn that his, basically, stats and stuff are inscribed upon his body like a tattoo.
Okay.
And it evolves. And she has the ability to heal him and also help him level as he's earning experience. And so he's trying to get what he believes is going to be his first, like, spell. And it's slowly starting to reveal itself, but it's only happening because he's pushing himself really hard to try and meet this chick. And she's like, I don't understand why all of a sudden your leveling is going so great when we've been at this for a while, and it's because of his desire to meet this chick, which she doesn't know about.
Right.
So I imagine that that's probably where your triangle is going to be, is it's going to be that kind of triangle, an emotional one, as opposed to another person liking another person in the loop. But the action is really good, and the characters are really sweet, and the way that it paces jumping from the saccharine to the action is really nice, and the action feels very much and is done very much in the style of Sword Art. So it's real high-paced, very detailed, super, super fun. So I have enjoyed the first episode. I think the second episode is available now by the time that you're listening to this podcast, because it's simulcast and new episodes come out at like 1:30 on Fridays.
Okay.
But I'm interested to see where this goes, because after one episode, I'm definitely sold, and so I want to see how the season runs. So, is it wrong to pick up girls in a dungeon? I don't know. I don't think it is, though.
Okay, then.
So that's what I got. And that's what you've got.
And I think that's what we got.
So the only thing that we're left to give you is the reminder to check out all the stuff that we write on our website, www.egmnow.com/electricsisterhood. You want AAA news and stuff, you're going to find it there. Coverage of all the shows that we go to, which E3 is creepily very closely around the corner.
I know.
Which is kind of scary. Actually, so we will have E3 stuff on our EGM Now page, so make sure that you subscribe to make sure that when we put new articles out, you're within the first group of people to know about it. You can catch our podcast at our home away from home, which is really our first home, so it's just home, electricsisterhood.com. You will find all of our indie stuff, all of our podcasts, and even more to come. As we bring Structure Network, stop it. As we bring Structure Network into fam on our website, make sure that you check it out. Share articles and links and all that good stuff. You can get our podcast in iTunes as well, either on your desktop or on your iOS device through the podcast application by searching for the Eshcast and subscribing. You can also get our podcast through Stitcher Radio, which is awesome. And you can get our podcast on VogNetwork.com. Like, there's so many places you can get our podcast, people. It's crazy. Whee! Subscribe to the podcast. Woo! We do this every week, except when we take vacations or get really sick.
Or there's snow.
Like hella snow. That impedes our bandwidth. Otherwise, we do it every week. You can also engage with other shows that are part of our network, which we highly recommend, not just because they're part of the network, but because we actually love the shows that these guys put out, so you definitely want to check them out. You want to hit up No Borders, No Race over at b3crew.com. If it's indie, rock, J-pop, K-pop, theater, just downright cool, KBD is talking about it over at the b3crew.com. So check out No Borders, No Race. On Wednesdays, if you need beats for your feet, so you got that workout going and you need a new playlist, make sure that you check out Geek Aggro and grab yourself a nice playlist. EDM, trap, all that stuff. Putting together some massively awesome, awesome playlist. Make sure that you check it out. And on Thursdays, if you've got issues,
he's got issues,
y'all can have issues together. The Issues Guy Issues program. You can call in live, check out all of his TV show recap videos. They're fantastic, especially the Game of Thrones stuff, guys. I love what the Issues Guy is doing over there. So make sure you hit up issuesprogram.com and subscribe. Check out all the stuff that he's doing on YouTube. It's phenomenal. And then for the rest of your week, keeping your nerd needs satiated, we got Facebook, we got Twitter. Hit us up, engage, share, be part of the community. We love hearing from you guys. So like us on Facebook at facebook.com/landofesh. Hit us up on Twitter. Follow us at ESH News. As soon as we have new stuff to share, whether it's articles that we're reading that we enjoy, articles that we're writing that we enjoy, just random nerdy stuff that's fun and engaging, or news that you should have, we're sharing it from everybody, from every place. So make sure that you engage with us. Let us know what you like, what you don't like, because we're all about you guys and delivering you some cool stuff. So with that, it's the time of the show where I turn to my sister and say, "Hey, yo, sis."
Yes.
To end out this National Siblings Day episode of our podcast, what shit are you digging this week?
I'm digging you.
Did I set that up nice or what?
You totally did.
Like, did I make that one easy for you?
You made that amazingly easy for me.
Aww, nicely done.
Well, what about you? What shit digging, are you digging?
I'm digging you.
Oh,
and
you're
also,
so predictable.
Also Jin.
Okay, well that makes sense.
It does make sense. So as always, I'm Ninja Sista.
And I'm Pandalicious.
Until next week, guys.
Peace.